This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca.
Into the net, Erik Karlsson. Meyer the shot. Poke deck. Wide. Meyer sends in front. Nyquist. Erik Karlsson. Shot. Score! Erik Karlsson gets the shot away. It might have been tipped in front, and it is a Sharks 5-4 win.
And that was the call last night on 98.5 K-Fox. Dan Ruzanowski with the call, and the San Jose Sharks win in overtime 5-4, take a 2-1 series lead in the Western Conference Final. And if you listen to that call, there's no mention of the Meyer hand pass. If you listen to Kenny's call on NBC Sportsnet, there's no mention of the hand pass. But there was a hand pass. Timo Meyer clearly gloved the puck to Nyquist, who then found Karlsson for the game-winning goal, and the Sharks win. And it's a major controversy. It's all anybody's talking about, which is a shame, because this was a classic game, just a phenomenal game. San Jose jumps out to a 2-0 lead. Karlsson scores for the first time since December. Thornton, who was critical of himself and the way he started this series, scores the goal to make it 2-0. Steen makes it 2-1 early in the second period, but seconds later, Thornton scores his second goal of the game, his fourth of the postseason, to make it 3-1, only to see Tarasenko finally score moments after that to make it 3-2. Perron scores a couple of goals to make it 4-3. Blues going in to the third period. Unbelievable action as Couture scores late with a minute and 1 second to go to tie the game at 4 going into the third period. In the third period, and you just saw just unbelievable action there on. So 4-3, Blues with a lead in the third period. Couture scores with a minute and 1 second to go with the goaltender pulled, and you get overtime, which is classic because that's a game that deserved to go to overtime for sure. How good's Couture been? 14 goals now. That's as many as Pavelski had the entire cup run for the San Jose Sharks when they went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2016. So likely that record, or at least the franchise record, will be broken the way Couture has played. And it's a classic game. It's a fun game, which I think is going to be an unbelievably fun series considering it looks like out east everything is going to be fairly short. But then you have the controversy of the game-winning goal. And when you were watching it, it seemed awkward, right? Like when you just saw the goal scored, you knew something wasn't right, whether it was the reaction of Binnington, who seemed to have a problem the second the puck went in. You knew there was no goaltender interference. There was no question whether it's onside or offside. So just something didn't seem to be right. And when you saw the replay, clearly Meyer gloves it down, finds Nyquist in front. And if you know the rule that, you know, in the offensive zone, a hand pass that could work to the advantage of the offensive team, it's deemed an illegal play, and the whistle should have blown. The whistle should have blown the second that Nyquist had touched the puck. But Nyquist was able to find Karlsson. Now, the goal is still scored. The Blues still had to play it out. The Blues still gave up the goal late in the third period. So the old classic, do they have a kick coming? But forget all that. How does it get missed? And we could talk all we want about replay, which we will. Okay, and we could talk about some of the breaks that have gone the Sharks' way, which we will, but ultimately, how can four eyeballs on the referees, and if you throw the linesman into the mix, miss what was a clear hand pass where everybody's eyes should have been directed in the first place? You know, you miss a hit. I understand the game is very fast. That's why I always give the officials the benefit of the doubt in the NHL, because the game is so quick. That's why they added a second official to begin with, because it's such a quick game, and it's getting faster and faster. So things are going to be missed. Things are always going to be in the eye of the beholder, whether it's a goaltender interference, whether there's a tripping penalty or a holding penalty, all yada, 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 you know. But when you have something that is not a judgment call, it's clear that he passed the puck. The way he was even situated tells you there was no way he could have gotten the puck to Nyquist unless it was batted out of the air the way that it was. Mark Jaunette and Dan O'Rourke are officials. They're veteran officials. They're calling a conference final because of their competency. So that shouldn't come into question. Johnny Murray and Matt McPherson are excellent linesmen. If asked, if they saw it, they would have been able to say hand pass, and then they would have been able to wave off the goal. No one saw it. And that's what's difficult to believe, because it wasn't in the corner. It wasn't away from the play. It was right where everybody's eyes were directed. Now, I'll be honest with you. It was a little too fast on television to see. Numerous calls did not see it. But you know what? If you're calling the goal, if you're a fan watching on television, it's not really your job to notice those things the way it is the job of the official to notice it. So that's what's very difficult to believe. But without a dog in the fight, you feel terrible for St. Louis, okay? They've got the Layla, you've heard her story, the 11-year-old with a rare blood disorder. She gets invited to the game. You saw the video beforehand. She's crying when she finds out for the first time in 4 months she's allowed to leave her house. They show her throughout the game. It looks like she's going to see a playoff victory, but the Blues can't hold on to the lead, and then it ends in controversy. And then you have the San Jose Sharks, who are a tremendous story, that right now sit just 6 wins away from their first ever Stanley Cup. Guess what? If they do win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be marred in controversy. Would they have won the cup if it wasn't a major penalty against the Vegas Golden Knights for them to score those goals on the 5-minute major and win the game 7? What if the Blues had continued overtime and won that game and taken a 2-1 series lead? What if the series goes 7 games and we can go back to what would have been in game 3 had they called the hand pass? Is that fair to the San Jose Sharks that could end up being a series win that could lead to their first ever Stanley Cup, still have some sort of dark cloud above it because of breaks that went their way, bad officiating going their way? That's not fair. Now we got to get to the point that everybody wants to talk about, and that is replay. Should we expand replay? If you've been listening to Game Misconduct, you know I'm not in favor of doing that. If you listen to the Michael Kay Show, I'm not in favor of that either. It's easy to say we should replay everything. But is that fair? Every little thing. Sure, in moments like this where it's a game-winning goal, in moments like the NFC Championship game where it's one of the last plays of the game that literally cost the Saints a chance to go to the Super Bowl, it's easy to go to replay and reverse that. But by adding that element, then every time there's a hand pass, is it then going to be eligible for replay? Because once you open up the Pandora's box, it's wide open. Now, this one to me is an easier fix than what happened to Pavelski in Game 7 against Vegas. That's still a judgment call. Whether it should have been a major or a minor is still a judgment call. That's in the eye of the beholder. That's why I'm not in favor of having instant replay for goaltender interference, because, again, it is a judgment call. But this isn't a judgment call. Did he or did he not bat out of the air with his hand? It's the same as, did it cross the line? It's the same as, was he onside or offside? Was the skate in the air or was it flat on the ice? So I would have no problem if you wanted to expand replay to where when there is a goal scored, you can go back and see if it was the result of a hand pass. And in that particular situation, it would have taken all of 5 seconds for them to see that it was a hand pass and the goal would have been waved off. So even though I am not in favor of expanding replay, to me, that's such an easy fix. You don't have to have reviews on hand passes all over the ice, but when there is a goal scored, you can then review, was that goal scored because of a hand pass? Now, if Meyer had directed the puck towards the net with his hand and the puck had gone in, then it would have been subject to review. But this was just not subject to review. So for people asking the question, I know when we get to the tweets, I've already looked at them. There's already a few people that have said, why is that not reviewable? I thought all goals were reviewed. Well, yeah, goals are reviewed. Did the puck cross the line? Goals are reviewed. Was there goaltender interference? And there is the possibility of going back on a coach's challenge. Was the play offside? There is nothing in the rules that say that that hand passes are subject to review. So even though everyone in the world saw it, Toronto did not have the ability to look at that goal, buzz down to St. Louis and say, wave the goal off, it was a hand pass. That's not among the things that are reviewable. See, when replay first came into the league in football back 25 years ago, there was a sensitivity to lengthening the game. So they didn't want to make everything under the sun reviewable. Baseball is a perfect example of this, because when baseball instituted replay, they only instituted a handful of things because they didn't want to have everything reviewable. Then the games would last 5 hours. So hockey was the same way. First it started, did the goal cross the line? And then we added the goaltender interference, and over the last 3 years we added the offside play. Did the puck go over the glass and touch the netting, which was something else that happened in game 3? That's not reviewable. You know, is that really a trip? Is that really a hold? Is that really a high stick? Not reviewable. Is it a 4-minute minor, a double minor? Is it a major? Is it a 2-minute penalty off a high stick? These are not reviewable plays. Many people have speculated that they should be, but that's the kind of expansion of replay that I think can be a little dicey. Here, I think you can do it very easily and it not being an issue. So I think because of the high profile of these mistakes in the postseason, which I'm hesitant to say has marred the postseason because I think it's still been fabulous, it's hard not to say that it hasn't, because instead of me on this podcast talking about what a glorious game three that was, what a spectacular finish to the game, we're talking about this. So it has marred it. So hopefully the NHL comes up with something to correct it. But I do feel bad for the officials, because this isn't a blown call where they called something that didn't happen. They missed it. And it happens. It's a fast game. It shouldn't happen. It's confusing why it happened, but obviously it did. Nobody is in the tank for the San Jose Sharks, no pun intended. You know, nobody's trying to make the Sharks win. I think it's just a coincidence that two of the biggest calls have benefited them. But I don't want that to take away from what a great story they've been. The fact is they still, you know, found a way to overcome and score. And Carlson now has 2 goals. And the thing that we talked about going into this game, would fatigue be a factor? And clearly it wasn't. I mean, the Sharks came out blazing, scored the first 2 goals of the game, had a 3-1 lead in the game. And I thought even after falling behind 4-3, they hung with the Sharks in the third period. And they came up with the equalizer, which cannot be forgotten. All right? I feel bad for the Blues. And ultimately, that missed call cost them at least a chance to extend overtime. We don't know if the Blues would have won that game in overtime, but we'll never know because of the blown call. But here's the thing. They had the lead with a minute to go. And the biggest problem was they continued to ice the puck. And Couture said it after the game. That was a huge benefit to the Sharks, not just for possession, because the faceoff is in the offensive zone, not because the Blues had to stay out there and couldn't make a change. Those icings gave the Sharks a chance to be able to keep their key scorers on the ice and get them a blow so that they weren't fatigued at the end of the game. So Couture gets the equalizer. Pavelski and Thornton get the assists. And, you know, Joe Thornton, who really called himself out after game two, because I thought he had a really bad third period, committed that penalty, if you remember, on the trip. After the Sharks failed on a power play opportunity that could have been a big moment in the game, down 3-2, he was critical of himself, and he comes up with 2 goals and an assist. So what a great, great game for the Sharks. What a great game for him. And unfortunately, this ends up being the conversation, and it's really a shame. All right, tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, it's game 4 between the Bruins and the Hurricanes, and I wish there was something I can tell you that can give you a little bit more intrigue in this series, because I really think it's over. Maybe Carolina can stretch it to a game 5, take advantage of the home ice advantage here. I mean, the one thing that they can kind of fall back on is I thought they did play an excellent first 2 periods in game 1. Overall, I thought they were the better team for most of the stretches of game 1. That was not the case in game 2. I thought they went mano a mano with Boston, but, you know, the Bruins were able to take advantage of some mistakes and get the goals where they needed to get the win. So now it's just a matter of survival. Justin Williams has been on 2 teams that have come back from 3-0 down, so maybe there's a little karma there. So there's a reason to watch and see if it can extend, but right now it seems like our best chance of having some classic hockey in the conference final is out west, and there's just so much controversy surrounding what happened last night. And again, it's a real shame because that was an absolute classic, and it's one of the great games that we're going to see in the postseason, and I didn't want it to end, and I was hoping that that would go a long time. And we would have saw a classic finish. And that's one thing that everybody just prays, right? Is that, and I do it when I'm calling games that are in overtime and there's a special moment, especially in the playoffs. And I say, just make sure it's a clean goal. That's all anybody ever asks for, is a clean goal in overtime. And unfortunately, that did not happen. I didn't get a chance to mention this yesterday on the podcast, but the Buffalo Sabres hire Ralph Krueger as their head coach. And this one kind of came out of the blue. I did not know that he was on the radar. He's been primarily a European coach. He actually left the sport for a while to coach soccer. He did have some experience in the Edmonton Oilers organization as an assistant with the Oilers. He's 59 years old. This one's a little baffling to me. There are a bunch of different directions they can go. There were some minor league coaches, college coaches, younger coaches. This doesn't seem to check any boxes for me. Doesn't have a ton of experience in the NHL. Not a former player in the NHL, although he did play internationally. He's 59 years old, so you can't even say, well, they wanted to go younger. So we'll see how he relates to the players. Tomas Vanek had nothing but nice things to say about Kruger. So it's not like he comes without some credentials as far as people respecting his game. But this one kind of came out of the blue to me, and we'll see. So he replaces Phil Housley. So now the Buffalo Sabres have their new head coach. Let's get to you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Let's hear from Troy, who says, given all of the crucial missed calls in last night's game, is it fair to expect the NHL to at least break up this officiating crew for the rest of the playoffs or take them off the schedule for all the games this season? And of course, you also had the, there is an elbowing penalty as well, that could end up being, a major, possible suspension, that, Casey brings up here. With the headshot, he says the hand pass, is catching all of the attention, but what about Perron's puck over the glass, which we did talk about in the headshot, that Blais laid on Braun? Should, that hit be a suspension? I think there's a very good chance that it could be, but you're right. There's a lot that was missed, and I would think that, there would be major consideration the rest of the way of how much we will see those officials going forward. I mean, they're there because of their credentials and what they were able to do during the course of the regular season. But when you're involved in that kind of controversy, Jonette and O'Rourke, I would think, would not work the Western Conference Final anymore and probably wouldn't work any more playoffs anymore. We'll see what the league decides to do there. You got to be proactive, right? You can't sit on your hands. I understand you can't change the rules in midstream, and a lot of these things will get fixed during the course of the offseason. But if officials make mistakes the way that they did, certainly either they have to be broken up or just not used at all. Tim Peel was the backup official for the game. I think he's one of the best in the game. I'm wondering if he had been on the ice for that, whether that would have been missed. Forever TH says, if the Sharks win the Stanley Cup, will hockey fans give them love or just say the refs helped them out to win the cup? I still say you got to win 16 games, but breaks have fallen their way. Well, that's what I was bringing up before, Forever TH. That's kind of the thing that is not talked about is that the Sharks have had an amazing season. Sharks have had an amazing run here. I still believe they have earned the 12 wins that they have gotten so far here. And we'll see. They still have six more wins to get. They may get them all. They may not get another one. But you're telling me that there aren't going to be people, if they lift the Stanley Cup, that'll say that maybe they weren't deserving. They should have lost to Vegas. They could have lost in the first round. But before anybody would do that, a lot of calls are missed on both sides, okay? And some of them not as glaring. But I bet you I could probably talk to a Shark fan who's watched every single second of the Sharks and say there's a lot of things that were missed that they couldn't overcome and lost games because of bad officiating. Every team, every fan base feels that their team is going to get jobbed. It's just the two major ones that everybody in the world saw that have created so much controversy over have benefited the San Jose Sharks, and that would really stink. G. Ferreira says, who do you think ultimately is to blame for last night's bad call? System, refs, league, rules? I don't know how you blame the league. All right. First of all, I don't want to be apologist for the NHL, but everybody wants more replay until they put more replay in, and I get nothing but complaints about it. Right? I mean, all I hear are complaints about, oh, they got a review for goaltender interference. I can't believe they got that wrong. I can't believe we're going to be sitting here for 10 minutes to see if somebody's skate is off the ice on whether it's offside or not. You can't have it both ways. Okay? You can't want more replay and then complain that there's too much replay. All right. Now we can criticize the league if they don't do anything about it during the course of the offseason, but let's wait and see. All right. You talk about system. Well, again, how many things do you want to get replayed? I mean, just you think in your mind, every time something like this happens, I begin to list the things that could be reviewable. And I never thought that there could be a hand pass that would be missed that glaringly that we would have to review it. So things begin to pile up. You can't think of every single thing. So I think system it's wrong, even though it probably will correct it. I can't say that going into that game, my major concern was there may be a hand pass that's missed. So ultimately, the one to blame are the officials. There are two of them. It's right in front of the net. Now, I don't know whether it was Jonette or Rourke that was standing behind the net. It looked like he had a clear view, but maybe he was blocked by Binnington. Maybe he was blocked by a body. But it's just amazing to me that guys that are paid to see that didn't see it. So ultimately, if you're going to blame anybody, you blame the officials. If the officials are better, this is not a problem, okay? we still want to put replay to back up the mistake ultimately that was made by the officials in the first place. So if you want to blame anybody, that's the way you got to blame it. David Hines says, how successful do you think Ralph Kruger will be in Buffalo? It seems decent in the one season with the Oilers before they fired him over Skype. I still think he could have had more success with Edmonton than with what a Dallas Eakins had. We will never find out. And that's right, he was the head coach replaced by Dallas Eakins. Listen, it's hard to really criticize anybody who's been the head coach in Edmonton because when has it ever worked? Right? I mean, everybody that seems to have coached there over the last 20 years, or I shouldn't say 20 years, obviously McTavish did a good job getting them to the Stanley Cup Final in 2006, but since then, who has done a good job? So I can't really criticize him for anything that he did in Edmonton or what anybody has done in Edmonton, but if I was to be critical of the hiring, does he have a lot of NHL experience? And most of the time, when you see a guy that doesn't have a lot of NHL experience, he's come from college and he's younger. Now, the Rangers hired David Quinn. He's 50. Kruger's 9 years older. Is that big of a deal? I don't know. And I'm not saying it's a bad hire. It's just it kind of came out of the blue. And ultimately, we'll see whether it worked or not. Super Striker 29 says, if I'm a betting man, I bet all my money on the San Jose Sharks. The NHL obviously will make sure to make any calls in their favor. The offside goal that was stripped from the Avalanche to the obvious illegal hand pass. Well, I'm not going to count what happened in the Avalanche game. That might be serendipity. All right. But Landeskog was offside. They actually got that one right. Now, did anybody think that was going to be the case when the goal was scored? But you can't count the Landeskog offside. He was offside. So maybe that's a break, but technically it was caught. And ended up being the right call. I'm going to get into this conversation. I get into this conversation every day. It seems that they want the San Jose Sharks to win. They want Joe Thornton to win the Stanley Cup. They want the San Jose Boston matchup because that would be great for ratings and blah, 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 blah. Okay. Fine. If they're going to rig it, okay, then why? Because remember, the NHL, there's a lot of Canadian players. There's 8 Canadian franchises. Are you telling me that if they can rig it, there hasn't been a Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup since 1993? That the Toronto Maple Leafs, who might be pound for pound the most popular team in the league, hasn't won a Stanley Cup since 1967? If they fixed it, they're bad at it. And I don't think there's any conspiracy. I think it's just a coincidence. I'm not going to defend the officials. And ultimately, if the league does not correct the situation, I'm not going to defend the league. But I'm not going to sit there and go, well, this is all just a conspiracy. They want these teams. Oh, they want San Jose, Boston. Well, do you really think the NHL wanted the Devils to win the draft lottery for the second time? And the Rangers never win the draft lottery? So it's a conspiracy theory that the Blackhawks, who almost made the playoffs, got the third overall pick. But it's not a conspiracy theory that would have led to somebody else other than the Devils again winning. Getting the first overall pick, I don't think there are conspiracy theories. I don't think the league has anybody in the bag. Sure, everybody wants San Jose, Boston outside of St. Louis and Carolina, right? That would be a great story. But I don't – a great story would have all these series going 7 games. If you can fix it, wouldn't you fix it so Carolina's a little bit more competitive? Heck, would you fix it that Carolina's making a run? If you wanted to go by ratings, wouldn't the ratings have been better if somebody other than Carolina was in the conference final? So – I do get a little crazy when I hear that stuff. Nicholas says, Sharks have taken advantage of their breaks. Wouldn't you agree? If they didn't score on this play, we wouldn't be talking about it. I mean, that's a great point. Now, I guess counterpoint would be, did Binnington see the hand pass, anticipate the whistle, and maybe wasn't properly prepared? But if that's the case, then it's a bad job out of him. You play until you hear a whistle. So the fact that the hand pass got to Nyquist still found Carlson. Carlson still beat Binnington. I mean, you make a great point. They got to take advantage of it. And we wouldn't have been in that situation had the Sharks not scored with 1 minute and 1 second left in regulation to force overtime. If the Blues had done their job in the regulation, none of this would have ever happened either. So again, not defending the call, but that's why you always hear me say, and sometimes people get aggravated when they hear me say it, that officials aren't the end-all be-all of who wins the game, because there is still a lot that is dependent on taking advantage of the opportunities to take place. AJ Mann says, from this angle, and he's showing me a replay off the television, I felt that there may be a small chance that it wasn't a hand pass. All the more reason to review this. However, I agree with you that replay is overused. Why is there no time limit on replays? And he showed me, and I guess you can make, you know, the angle, did it touch his hand? And maybe it deflected towards Nyquist because it hit the side of his stick. That's one angle. Every other angle looked like it was a hand pass. I got to tell you, it's more believable to me that they just missed it than they saw that and said no hand pass. If I'm watching that live and I see that, am I going to be able to see that it didn't hit his hand, that it grazed off of the stick and got to Nyquist? I find that very difficult to believe. That I'm not just going to call it a hand pass. And here's the other thing, too, and I'm not sure I'll retweet this if anybody wants to be able to look at it later on, the angle that AJ sent. It's, you can make the case that maybe it did not hit his hand and it grazed off the side of the stick. Here's the thing. I don't think if it didn't hit his hand, it would have gotten to Nyquist. It floating in the air and hitting the stick, I don't think would have created enough speed to be able to get to Nyquist. I think it got that speed because it was helped with the hand of Meyer, then deflected off the stick and found Nyquist. I think it's a hand pass. I think they just missed it. Brett says, so a goal can be reversed for a player being onside that had, or offside, that had absolutely nothing to do with the play, but a goal can't be reversed due to a hand pass that had everything to do with an overtime goal. Really? NHL officiating is god-awful. Again, they missed it, but no, it's, did you ever think that that would happen? The offside was something that was brought to the Board of Governors meeting and they approved it, and I'm assuming now hand pass will be added to it. But hand pass is not something that's reviewable. So everybody in the world saw that it shouldn't have counted, but it's not a reviewable play. Irene says, will the NHL make non-judgment calls reviewable? And that's what we're trying to see here. I don't want more judgment calls. I want more black and white calls that should be reviewable. Absolutely right. San Jose got a break, but the Blues did too. Blay high hit on Braun, Perron delay of game, no call, and the Blues end up scoring. If the Sharks go all the way, will there be an asterisk over the cup run? Well, there won't be an asterisk, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of people, especially in St. Louis, that'll say they shouldn't have won the cup. People in Vegas will say they shouldn't have won the cup. Maybe people in Colorado will say the same thing. Mark says, love the show. Regardless of what happens, you have to take into consideration that the Sharks are finding ways to win. Will they advance on controversy to the cup final? What the blank is going on? Very well said. Drew says, what are your thoughts on the Lindell deal? Many seem to think he is a great price. It's a great price for the team, but do you think that's a bit early to decide? Let me see here. Let me see how much money, because I just saw the deal here. Let me punch up the exact numbers on the contract. 6-year deal, $5.9 million annual. He's a heck of a player. I mean, he's a defenseman. You build up the middle in this league. He's played well, and he avoids restricted free agency. That's the going rate. Locking players up like that, I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, he was a help to them. You got to have stability on the blue line. I've got no problem with a deal like that. All right, so we had a lot of controversy. Why do I have a feeling there'll be more controversy before this whole thing is said and done? We still have games to go in the conference finals. We still know that there's going to be at least 5 games in the West, and I think there'll be more than that. We'll see if we'll get a 5th game out of Carolina and Boston. That'll be played later on tonight. So tomorrow, we will either wrap up the Eastern Conference and preview Game 4 in St. Louis, or we'll put to bed the Eastern Conference and congratulate the Boston Bruins and see who they're going to eventually play in the next week or so. So you can get in touch with me, as you always can, at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. Looking forward to talk to you again tomorrow. This was the Thursday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.